if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings, welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 272. This is our 2023 Wyndham Championship bets pod. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's PGA Tour action from North Carolina. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have my in-depth betting preview for the Wyndham. We've got strokes gained rankings for the Wyndham. I'll go through a few of those later. Course form stats combined with current form stats, plus our brand spanking new predictor model. All of this content, like this podcast, completely free of charge, with no paywall. We're available on Twitter. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available along with my weekly golf betting show. We're closing in on 4,000. So if you could go over to the YouTube channel and join, follow, that not follow, it's subscribe, isn't it? That'd be absolutely fantastic. Right. You guys as listeners power this podcast. So we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Right, this 5-star review is entitled Masterclass of Analytics and Useful Knowledge. Afternoon, gents. Such a fine podcast you have here. Congratulations on your recent big achievement for a smallish podcast. I voted as instructed. So that was in the Sports Betting Awards. I personally use your articulated information when selecting my DraftKings picks. They always do very well, so thanks for that. That is regards from Barry. Barry is in Ballymena. In Ballymena. Is that the Republic of Ireland, Barry?
Don't geography test me. Hey, Barry, how's it going? Thanks for the review, buddy. I think it's up. I think it's in the north, Steve.
It's in the north.
Yeah.
Comes across as Great Britain on Apple, but that doesn't mean great deal.
Brilliant stuff.
Ballymena. Well, Barry from Ballymena, thank you very much.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks. And I'm glad you're getting some use and some results out of your selections. Very good.
We appreciate your support. Last week, well, there wasn't really a huge amount of golfing action, was there? There was just this Lee Hodges, Brian Harman kind of copycat act. Fair play to Lee Hodges. I must say, I would. There was like 0%, didn't even flicker in my mind, Lee Hodges.
No.
So I don't mind those ones when it's like, oh, wow, well, I'd never have got that. It's when you've got like, I had a few weeks ago with Sepp Straka, and you're going to pick him, you don't pick him, and then he wins. They're the ones that really do wind you up.
Yeah.
Lee Hodges, very very calm, wasn't it? Very nondescript, just easy. Mm. Fantastic play.
I had a little flick through his results because, yeah, like you, he wasn't. What was he? 90 to 100 to 1.
90 to 1. We bet 365 on Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was quite a way down the board, and I had a flick through his results, but there's nothing really screaming at you, was it? There was, you know, a couple of distant top tens, and 12th at the Scottish Open was reasonably good, but then he really bombed out of the Open. I mean, yes, I get it. It's completely different, the 3M Open to the Open Championship, and you know, you can't read one result into another. But 76-77 at the Open didn't really give you an indication he was going to go out and shoot what 63-64 to open at the 3M, and then just saunter to victory. Very impressive, though.
Yeah, very impressive. We were talking about previous about strong driving, and we ended up with a leaderboard that was Lee Hodges, Martin Laird, Kevin Streelman, JT Poston filling the top five spots. Four spots. That just shows you with that golf course, it can be done in different ways. Hodges kind of took the Michael Thompson way from a few years ago, because he's not exactly the longest. But yeah, it was an interesting tournament. I had five selections. Four missed the cut. And I had JT Poston, who could have won it. So you can't complain. 45-1, a full each way return for me. I know your picks, gentlemen, were kind of there or thereabouts. Griot was getting involved. Tom Hoagie. There were a number of guys that you were on that were floating with the each way spots and kind of didn't happen.
One of those. Yeah, well, Griot got him. I don't know. I struggled.
He's second or something at halfway.
Yeah, well, he was, you know, he kept getting himself into position, then kind of falling back a little bit, then give you a bit of hope, and then drop back a bit. And then he made some late birdies on Sunday to get himself up to tie for third, tie for fourth. You know, I thought, well, hang on here. You're going to get yourself an each way place because you're unlikely to catch Lee Hodges at this point. And then three putted the 17th and parred the par 5 18th and missed out by a shot. So it's kind of typical, really, isn't it? It's the kind of way these Sundays can often go. But yeah, Hoagie was in the mix for a bit as well, Barry, wasn't he?
Got himself sorted there. And Kevin Yu as well had a nice run as well to get up there. And then, things went the other way. So, look, it's for kind of picks on the fly and for a bit of a weird, it's a funny kind of time just after the Open before the FedEx Cup finals kick in. It's just there's so much churn and people are motivated to get in, but that doesn't usually result in wins. It usually results in them just scraping through or just missing out on getting through. So it's, I find it, maybe I'm just manifesting that in my head, but I find it a really tricky couple of or two or three weeks to pick to pick players. It just is quite volatile, so sometimes I feel like I could just which I do more often than not, just like throw a couple of darts at the board and see what happens. But usually,
I'm glad you mentioned Kevin Yu, Barry. This guy is a total enigma. He needs to go and visit Brad. Saying that, how much spare time has Brad got now with Rory and Lucas? And
can't have much.
I'd say Brad's got a few instructional videos for the boys. Here, look at these first and then come back to me and tell me what you're really struggling with.
He must have some underlings that he can send them off to recesses of the training facility, and they work with the underlings. Kevin Yu last week, these numbers are incredible. He was third for strokes gained off the tee. 22nd for approach, 15th for around the green, 2nd for tee to green. He gained 9.38 strokes. Yeah, tee to green. 2nd in the field. That's crazy. The only person to beat him was Lee Hodges, the winner, tee to green. Wait for it. Putting, -5.86 on the greens. The worst putter of those that made the cut.
That's
Kevin. That is a synopsis of Kevin Yu.
5.86. So he's lost 23 strokes, 23 and a half strokes to the field in four rounds.
I suspect that's the four rounds.
I think it's the four round number. But okay. He's basically lost well over half of what he gained from tee to green with the putter. That's crazy. Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, that's kind of like the, let's say, a Scottie Scheffler light performance, like absolutely dominating the tee to green, and then just But that's Scheffler seems to convert them into top tens and top eights and top fives.
Those kind of negative putting splits are the kind of putting splits you see from Colin Morikawa on occasion, Scottie Scheffler on a regular basis. And one of my selections this week in a putting contest. So, yeah. We'll go into that in a short while. But yes, any thoughts on Tony Finau? Still 19th in the Ryder Cup race for Team USA. Was right in the mix. I mean, started like an express train. Was he minus six through five or something ridiculous?
Yeah, flying at the start.
He then ended up minus 15, so effectively gained 9 strokes over the final 3.5+ rounds.
Do we think
Finau is a lock? Because I'm reading a lot on Twitter from people that seem to know that Finau's a lock for the team.
I mean, look, that's a really good performance when in the context of his recent performances. You know, he ran a stretch where he was 30th, 40th, and he was just, you know, faffing about. That's good. That's showing signs of life.
Yep.
You know, if Justin Thomas did that, the media would be in a frenzy. Oh, going, oh, he's back to life. Get him on the team immediately. So, yep. You know, if you think about it like in that context, then that's a really good week for Finau.
Yeah, like, it's interesting with Finau as well. He went out there and shot that low round Thursday morning. Cam Young, who I was on, just flapped about, did absolutely nothing. And Cam Young's in just as much need, if not more, for results. So that missed cut for Cam Young's quite damaging. Yeah, and JT's just flapping, isn't he? What price is he this week? It just literally, I wouldn't say took 30s, my breath away. Yeah. I'm not that. 35-1, Justin Thomas.
Still wouldn't touch it.
In the Wyndham Championship.
Still wouldn't touch it.
He's the same price as Alex Smalley and Ludvig Åberg. Now, if you'd have said that at the start of the year, I'd have said you must be crazy. JT Poston is shorter than Justin Thomas this week.
Yeah. In terms of odds. Thomas is drifting as well, you know, given there's no money for him. Well, you could see him being pushed out a little bit further, potentially.
You might get, might reach 40-1 in the Wyndham Championship. That's crazy. Yeah. Right, let's segue into the Wyndham, shall we? In terms of best bookmaker for the 2023 Wyndham Championship, we are highlighting Bet365. As ever, they have their each way extra market available, which gives you the option to increase or decrease the number of places when you are betting pre-event on the Wyndham outright market. I've used their 8 places each way at a 50 odds market. Specifically, I managed to get away 4 of my 5 with them this week when I went when we released the preview Monday afternoon. Right now, as we record the pod, they are offering extended market best odds and 8 places each way on market leaders, such as Sung Jae Im at 20-1. Sam Burns at 25-1. Burns needs a good week for Ryder Cup, I think. Justin Thomas is 35-1. Adam Scott is 40-1. Now listen to this one, guys. They also have the Todd Father, Brendan Todd. He's always on my post-it note of doom, but he's got a good chance this week, I think, Brendan Todd. I was almost contemplating putting him up. They have him, listen to this, 75-1, 8 places each way. He is as short as 45-1 with Bet Victor, who are industry standard 5 places each way at 1/4 the odds. That is incredible. You're getting 30 points more, and instead of 5 places each way, you're getting 8. That's the kind of value you can get with Bet365. If you're 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account, you can find details of their current Bet £10, get £30 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in this podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code. Go on, Paul. I know you're itching. What's the bonus code?
Sport30, SPORT30.
When registering. I've also got a couple of boosts to mention here with Bet365 this week. Shane Lowry, if you're into Shane Lowry this week, he's priced up at 28-1. You can back him with Bet365 at 33-1. And the new talent that is Ludvig Åberg, 35-1. They boosted him to 50-1 this week for the Wyndham Championship. So there we go. Right, now, you might find this one a little bit more interesting, Barry, I think, the Wyndham, because we have got this deadline, and it's a big deadline. I just want to mention as well at the very top here, Lee Hodges was 74th in the FedEx Cup last week. top 70 get into the playoffs. Now, Martin Ledd was 157. JT Poston was 60. We also add in the each way places. Keith Mitchell, 66. Sam Ryder, 69. So there was a 69, a 66, a 60, and the winner was 74 in the FedEx Cup. So that just shows you how it's motivating these mid-range pros to have very strong weeks to get into the playoffs where there's some serious money available.
Yep.
And that, you think about that result for Lee Hodges. Not only does that get him into the playoffs, which start next week down in Memphis, that also gets him way into the top 30 in the FedEx Cup, which means that as of post-tour championship, the top 50 in the FedEx Cup at the end of the... The top 50 that go to the BMW Championship all get invites to the designated events ongoing. That is huge for someone like Lee Hodges.
Mm.
Absolutely massive. So any designated event, you're going to get Lee Hodges in the field going through the fall of this year, autumn, and through the whole of 2024. That is just like, that's a massive career jump for Lee Hodges.
Mm.
So that's what's on the table this week for players. That is all. So it might be just worth having a scoot down the FedEx Cup standings and just finding players there that you think both suit the course and also are in serious need of a performance. Because I think that is a decent angle to attack this week and pretty much what I have done. Right, the Wyndham, we should know it all. It's a Donald Ross course. Do like it. It's a 26 original. It had a renovation in 07. It also used to feature bent grass greens, now features champion Bermuda grass. The first winner to win on those champion Bermuda grass greens, and this is a good name just to throw out there, was Sergio Garcia. So that shows you that a longish, high-quality ball striker can be very effective around Sedgefield. There are different ways of skinning the cat this week, but ball strikers are in play. Last few years, though, 21 under, 22 under, 21 under, 22, 21, 20 under par, six of the last seven winning totals. So we could be touching 20 under winning here, and it's a par 70, worth remembering. They've only got 8 visits at a par 5 this week. So you're going to need to be scoring well on your par 3s and your par 4s. Golf course itself, nice and short, 7,131 yards as a par 70. We're back in North Carolina. We're back in Bermuda grass territory. We've been in fescue recently, bent grass, bent poa. We're back on Bermuda grass this week. And that's, again, another big step change for me. Players that are comfortable on Bermuda grass surfaces. So that's both Bermuda grass fairways and rough, but also those champion Bermuda grass greens. Six of the holes feature water in play. The fairways themselves are tight. At 300 yards carry, 26 yards. Now, to give you some kind of context on that, last week at TPC Twin Cities, they were 31 yards at the same point, so 5 yards wider. And if we go to Deer Run, where they did the John Deere Classic, just the other side of the Open, they were 36 yards wide, so 10 yards wider on the John Deere Classic. So it's pretty tight off the tee. It's a short course, and it's a Carolina esque golf course. So lots of dog legs, tree lined everywhere, pine straw if you go outside of the rough. The main hazard here, and it's very similar to what we see at RBC Heritage, the Harbour Town course, if you do miss the fairways on the wrong side of the hole, you've got seriously blocked shots into the green complexes, and that can be tree trunks, overhanging limbs, and just the way the course is. If you're on the wrong side and the pin's set on your side, very, very difficult to hold the green, get the ball close from out of the rough into greens that are typically Donald Ross, sloping from back to front. The typical Donald Ross green complex design. Great course, I love it, but it is scorable. It is very much scorable. Now, I haven't looked at the weather forecast this morning, I'll be truthful. But there was forecasted rain Thursday and Friday, but it was only 50% during play. If that doesn't materialise, we can see some really seriously quick greens here. And I remember, was it 2015, the year we were on Kisner? Not 2015, 2021, the year we were on Kisner, the greens were lightning fast and the winning score only got to 15 under par. So it's where, I don't know, just keep an eye on it because you might have a scenario this week where it's 15 under to 16 that wins, or if it's typical conditions and you get some rain on the build up, so we might get a course that's actually hasn't got lightning fast fairways or greens, you might be pushing this 21, 22 under envelope for the winner. So that's where we're at. Interesting setup, I think. So don't forget, top 70 get into the playoffs next week. But I think there are other goals there. I mean, you've clearly got people that are scratching around for their cards, top 125. That cutoff isn't until the RSM Classic in November. So these pros aren't exactly, this isn't the last chance saloon to keep your playing privileges for 2024. But there's some desperate players out there needing points. So I've kind of built that into a scenario where I'm looking for players that suit the course and have got some kind of motivation from a standings perspective. Now, I said that I'd quickly go through some strokes gained rankings. I've put a link in the podcast description to our strokes gained rankings for the Wyndham. They're available. Paul pulls them together every single week where he can for both DP World and PGA Tour. So basically, go back to 2016 on the PGA Tour and just pulls the whole gamut of strokes gained numbers for each player in the field. These are the rankings as we stand. The top four have only played one tournament here. One, Ben Griffin. Two, Sam Burns. Three, Max McGreevy. Four, Taylor Moore. And then of those that have played multiple events around here, Sung Jae-im ranks at five. Webb Simpson, I mean, they could call this the Webb Simpson Open. He's at six. Billy Horschel at seven, showed some form last week. Brandon Wu's at eight, although he's only played once. Cam Davis at nine, and you know what name is going to come out finally. Of course, Siwoo Kim at 10. The Bermuda monster that is Siwoo Kim. Below that, you've got the ilks of Russell Henley, of course. We've got Davis Riley. Taylor Pendrith, and here's a name that kind of tells you where you're at with the Wyndham. Ryan Armour. 280 yards, that's with the following wind. But a fantastic approach player and a streaky putter, especially on Bermuda grass. You've also got Jim Herman, Alex Smalley, Hideki Matsuyama, Matt Kuchar, Denny McCarthy and Branch Snedeker rounding out the top 20 in the rankings. Best thing about that analysis, love it. You can also rank by skill set as well. Because I've just been listing strokes gained total. You can rank by putting, ball striking, tee to green, approach, whatever you want to rank by. Very, very useful. Any thoughts from you guys before I move on to potential selections?
I think you've covered the basics. I think this top 70 point is valid. And, you know, you talked about Lee Hodges last week at 74th. There are plenty of players in that kind of 65th to 80 plus bracket, and even the guys quite a bit further down, given there are 500 FedEx Cup points available this week to the winner, first or second or tied second, third, that kind of number for many players could see them inside the top 70 this week. So there's a lot of jostling going to happen this week for position in that ranking, and there's plenty of players with something to play for. So that should, well, it always does add an element of interest and intrigue to this. But ultimately, I mean, you talked about the Bermuda green change. I think that's valid. It is a short 70. I think it suits a certain type of player. And personally, I like players that have the ability to putt well. Strokes gained putting, even the back to the old putting average metric. If you've got players that appear on a number of the putting stats, in quite a lot of
Brendan Todd, Paul, the Todd father.
Well,
he's in play this week. In play this week.
I will come to Brendan Todd when we go through my selection, Stephen.
Have you backed him with Bet365?
I got him earlier in the week with William Hill at 90s. But
90?
Don't steal my thunder, Steve. I'll go through him when I get to the longer prices.
Strokes gained metrics here. I'm just going to read these out to you. These are the positions within those that made the cut, the champions going back to Siwoo Kim. Just average it through. Off the tee, 27th. Approach, 7th. 35th for around the green. 8th for tee to green, 12th for putting. When I'm looking back through the year, I'm seeing there are a number, but there are also a lot of stop-offs where the strokes gained putting number is far, far higher. So, like next week at Southwind, the winner there over the years has only been 24th in the field on average for strokes gained putting. Mm-hmm. Completely different event. So, yes, I can see the angle of being of needing to be able to putt well. There have been the odd winner, though. Sergio Garcia, Siwoo Kim, who have basically murdered the course from tee to green. And been kind of neutral or even a tick above neutral with a putter.
Yep.
You also get the likes of Kevin Na did the same thing to get into a playoff, that six-man playoff. There's a number of guys that have gone down that route as well. But yes, I think strong putters isn't a bad angle. Last thing I'm going to say before I go through my selections. These are the FedEx Cup rankings of the winners here going back to 2016. Bearing in mind, back then, cutoff was 125 for the playoffs. Siwoo Kim was 43rd. Henrik Stenson won here at 14-1. He was 75th in the FedEx Cup. He was ranked 4th in the world. Branch Snedeker, we were on board, 80. JT Poston, 83. Kevin Kisner, we were on board, 69. And last year, Tom Kim didn't even have a FedEx Cup ranking. He was on special temporary membership. He won at 40-1. 40-1 Kim, 55-1 Kisner, 100-1 Poston, 28-1 Snedeker, 14-1 Stenson, 150-1 Siwoo Kim. Right, first guy I'm putting up. He is literally playing golf. If when I look back strokes gained at what Hideki does before he wins, he's doing right now what he always does before a big win. He's okay off the tee. He's absolutely razor sharp with his approaches. He's gaining strokes around the green. And of course, he's murdering the course tee to green and putting terribly. At some point, he's going to putt reasonably well and he's going to win a tournament. And he's having one bad round every week. So I put Hideki up. I do like the link this week, chaps. I do like the link. And I don't know why, although they are both Bermuda grass. There's definitely something here about, don't get me, the Plantation course where they play the Tournament of Champions. And there's also a link with the Sony Open that they play the week after in Honolulu.
Yeah.
Tom Kim went to Kapalua for the first time this year, finished 5th. Kevin Kisner's had an 8th and a 9th there. JT Poston's had an 11th there. Snedeker's had a couple of 3rd places there. And then you just look at the link across to Sony. Kisner's all over that link. Herman's had a top 10 there. Snedeker's finished 2nd there. I was actually on board Snedeker that week. I mean, Sony makes sense. It's a course where putting's important. It's a course that's a 70 tree lined. Hideki won there, didn't he? He beat Henley.
Yeah.
Now, I'm seeing Henley being backed off the boards this week. Personally, at the same kind of price point, I'd always take Matsuyama. Mm. He won the Masters. He's got 8 PGA Tour victories. So I plumped for Hideki.
Mm.
Just need something mid-range with the putter. Something that isn't Kevin Yu from last week. Or Hideki Matsuyama from last week. But we saw it at the Sony Open. I remember it well. I think I said on the podcast back in 2022, you know, Hideki, he'd be absolutely perfect for this golf course if he could putt. And then lo and behold, I think he gained 8.5 strokes with the putter that week and beat Russell Henley. So, yeah, Matsuyama for me. That's the one I personally would rather take Matsuyama and Henley over Sung Jae-im, because he seems horribly out of form and he was the favourite when the prices came out. The only one that's sneaky there for me is Sam Burns, because we know with Sam Burns, we've been talking about it. He is in great need of a good result.
Hmm. Go on, Barry.
I was just going to ask, how does Hideki get on with the Bermuda greens? Because usually, in my head, I have him absolutely locked as a bent grassed.
Yeah. The one thing I will say was that Sony performance.
Okay.
I think he gained like 9 strokes with a putter. And also, I think he's had 2 runner-ups, or at least a second and a third at Kapalua. He can be competitive on Bermuda grass. I just think the thing with Hideki is he just loves tree-lined golf courses, doesn't he? He just run through where he's won in the States, Muirfield Village. He's won at Augusta. He's won at the Sony Open at Wailea. He's won his home event at Narashino. Now, in that Narashino course, short, claustrophobic, it's just almost like a Carolina golf course, but clearly with bent grass, and it's in Japan, but it's the same court, you know, bending dog legs, very Wentworthy kind of setup.
Yeah.
This golf course itself suits Matsuyama down to the ground. It's just whether he can handle the Bermuda grass greens that's the question for me. Well, it's the question every week. But yes, like I agree, Barry. He is undoubtedly bent grass positive.
He's always been one to...
7 of his 8 PGA Tour victories will have bent grass within them.
Mm.
One thing I will say, he also got a great record at Phoenix, if you remember. And Phoenix are always these kind of hybrid Bermuda grass greens. Sometimes they've got a bit of bent grass on the top. Sometimes they've got a bit of Poa trivialis on the top. But they are fundamentally Bermuda grass greens at Phoenix. And he's won there twice. So, I don't know. It's up for grabs, really. I mean, that whole top of the board there, Matsuyama, Im, Henley, Burns. The one that's being backed is Henley. Siwoo Kim's being backed off the board, but, you know, it's Bermuda grass and it's the Siwoo Kim Open. And then you're down to the likes of Denny McCarthy and Shane Lowry. Shane Lowry, by the way, is outside the top 70. So if he doesn't perform well this week, bearing in mind Shane Lowry's in our Ryder Cup team, he will not be in the FedEx Cup playoffs. So where's he going to play golf? He'll just have to wait it out for the Irish Open, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not long. Start of September.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little summer holiday.
Hmm. Yeah. Get himself.
That's where we're at, though. We have got some decent players in this event, and clearly Justin Thomas is the other one, who will not be in the playoffs unless they get a decent... I think I saw something today saying that if Justin Thomas was to get something around the top 15, and this would clearly also stack up for Shane, if they get like a T15 finish, they're very likely to make the top 70. Top 10, definite.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of players in that kind of bracket, though. There's a lot of players playing who are in the 50th to 80th plus position right now. So,
I think Barry used the right word earlier, didn't he? Churn. There's going to be a lot of churn this week. Is there anyone there at the top that either of you guys are on, or are you delving deeper?
I've got one near the top. You've mentioned him already. Sam Burns I backed yesterday at 22-1. I see that he's been pushed out to 25s in places this morning. So not overly fancy, but that may well be a symptom of some of these other players being backed quite heavily, I guess. But yeah, Burns, I mean, you've talked a bit about him. He's 13th in the Ryder Cup rankings. So yeah, even though he won that the WGC match play earlier in the year, he's not assured of his place in the team. Would he get a pick? I think if it push came to shove, picking the player who won the match play over someone else who either hasn't won or won a lesser event, I think I'd probably prefer Burns. But there's no God-given right that he's going to get selected. So I think at 13th in the rankings, he's really got to, you know, he's got to make a strong case for himself over these next few weeks. 5 wins in the past 2 years, 4 of them on Bermuda grass greens. He was 5th to the halfway point at the Scottish Open a few weeks back. Missed the cut of the Open Championship, didn't hurt Lee Hodges last week, clearly. 13th here on debut, the one and only time he played. He had a weekend of 65-65. He can play the course. And he can putt. We know Sam Burns can putt. 8th of the season for strokes gained putting. 9th for one putts. 14th for three putt avoidance. If you look through a lot of the putting stats for Sam Burns, he's very, very prominent. For me, when I looked at the market, I was kind of expecting Burns to be maybe really pushing for the very top for favouritism this week. So to take him at 22s, and as I say, you can get him slightly longer right now, that seemed like a good punt to me. So Burns is the only one I've backed sub 50-1. Any from you, Barry, down that bottom end?
Top end? I'm going back. Well, yeah, top for me for sure. Anything under 100-1. Got to back Aaron Rye. You know, not the longest off the tee, but playing some really good golf. You know, a couple of top tens in his last 8. Just, you know, 2 miscuts sprinkled, and then the worst in his last 7 is 24th. Only one appearance here, which was 71st last year, but you know that was him. You know, first year over on the PGA Tour, so I'm fine with that. This feels like a kind of course that will suit him quite well. So yeah, I've got him at 40-1, and I'm weighing up Denny McCarthy, because you know, if that putter gets hot and he hits anything approaching a regular amount of greens, he could really get some low numbers going.
Boy can putt, we know that.
It's just, I mean, you know me, I was on Denny the other week at the John Deere. I've taken him off the post-it note of doom. And someone asked me the other day, have there been any new entries? It's like a moving feast. It's like, dude, you could do like a pop chart, couldn't you? And up 3, and it's now on the post-it note of doom. It's Doug Gim.
New entry this
week. It doesn't quite fluctuate that quickly, but you can come off the post-it note of doom as well. Denny's off it now. My only fear with Denny is, I know you haven't backed him, it's whether he can actually hit the ball close enough to let that putter do the enough work that it needs to do. When I looked at this, there was definitely a trend where the winner of this had a strokes gained approach in the top 11 in one of their 3 prior to actually winning. You see what I'm saying? So they'd actually been to an event, they'd finished in the top 11, and that had been powered by a decent week with the approaches in a tournament imminently close to winning, before winning this. Denny doesn't have that. It's literally, you find that he's like 58th for strokes gained approach, and he lapped the field with the putter. And that's just how Denny rolls. So that's ultimately what put me off backing him, because he was definitely on my shortlist. Might come and haunt me.
Could save me money.
Could save me money. In a real world, I struggle not to see Denny on that sort of first couple of pages of the leaderboard, though. I think he's just going to be there or thereabouts. And there's this thing out there that Denny could still make the Ryder Cup team, because he's still there in terms of points.
Yeah.
And we've seen Cam Young's kind of floating around near the top of leaderboards recently. Tony Finau. All of these players that know they're under pressure. That's why Paul's on Sam Burns this week, quite rightly. They're starting to play better golf because they're having to. Denny McCarthy, the other thing that put me off him, 25th in the FedEx Cup. So if we're going down this trend of winners, he's too comfortable. Too comfortable. That's another reason I like Matsuyama, actually. 56th in the FedEx Cup. So, yes, he's not going to be... He's going to be playing Southwind next week, I grant you. But Matsuyama's outside the designated event cut line. That's crazy. And I'm not suggesting that him and Thomas won't find a back door in those couple of spots that they're going to keep for the big names, because they will. Mm-hmm. But that just doesn't... To a player of Matsuyama's ability... That must feel kind of, wow, what am I doing? I might not be playing designated events from the autumn onwards. Mm. Back to Aaron Wright. I'm on him as well, Baron.
Excellent.
61st in the FedEx Cup, so he's in that kind of spot. I'll tell you the one I like with Aaron Wright. He won, I think it was his first European Tour event at the time, at Fan Ling. The Hong Kong Open. And I could see some kind of fan-ling links to this. That's a claustrophobic, tight, tree-lined short course with Bermuda grass greens.
Yeah, fiddly.
Fiddly, yeah. And actually, Rye, as you said, tee to green, unbelievable. I think he's fourth for accuracy on tour for the whole season. Top 15 or 20 for greens in reg. As we know with Aaron Wright, guy can't putt generally. But actually, the last four outings in North America, he's been positive with the putter. Every single one of them, making some putts. Which makes him a very dangerous animal, I think. So I'm on Wright. The other one I'm on at that price point, or the shorter than that, was JT Poston. I mean, I can't really hop off JT. He almost won last week. He's a champion here. And when he won the John Deere Classic last year, lo and behold, he finished second at the Travelers before then winning his John Deere Classic. So there's no physical way I can leave JT Poston behind. So I'm on Matsuyama, Poston at 30-1 I got. I'm on Aaron Wright at 40-1. The other one I've slotted in there, and he's actually drifted this morning. So that's great. 45-1, Cam Davis, the Australian. Starting to putt a lot better. And he, 69th in the FedEx Cup standing. So Cam Davis goes into this knowing if he doesn't perform well, he won't be in the playoffs next week. That's a huge motivator for me. Huge, huge, huge motivator. He was actually outside the playoffs until last week where he got a top 10. That's got him into the playoffs as we sit here right now, projected. But he needs a good finish this week to make sure that he makes those that Southwind playoff next week, first event. And you actually look at Cam Davis. He won the 2021 Rocket Mortgage Classic at Detroit Golf Club. That's a Donald Ross design. Tick. Yeah. He then finished fourth this year at the PGA Championship. On a Donald Ross designed Oak Hill, tick. So he's a bit of a Donald Ross specialist. And just wherever I looked for results, Kapalua, Sony Open, PGA West, where they play the American Express, that's another Bermuda grass, low scoring event. Harbour Town, all of these courses, Cam Smith has a top 10, top 8 result at all of them. Just ticks everything from a correlating course perspective. Every single course I was looking for, he's got a top 10. So, yeah, I slotted Cam Davis in. 40-1 I got. I'm looking right now. You can get 45-1. No, I'm not. He's gone back into 40s. So, 40-1 chance Cam Davis. Come on then, Paul. You might as well hit us with the Todd Father.
Yeah, I've got another one in between first. Yeah, Davis is interesting. I expected him to be a lot more popular in the market.
Well,
after.
Was I right in thinking he was 33-1 last week?
It would have been in that kind of price, yeah. And finished 10th. A couple of decent efforts here, isn't he? 22nd, 15th.
And his price got bigger.
Yeah, it's kind of hovering around that 40-1 point, but he's certainly not a sea of blue like a lot of the other players in that bracket are. And the reason he sticks out, and I haven't backed him, but I just listening to you and looking at the rationale, it seems to be something I should be backing. So I'll
the other thing with Campbell is he literally has been. I think he's been Hideki's putting partner on the practice greens for a number of months. You know, he's been there. I can see them, and I can see Scotty Scheffler. They must all putt together on the greens, and you know, they're all taking tips off each other. Kevin Yu,
bad tips.
How not to putt. But the last couple of events for Cam, positive with the putter, and the last round that he played at Twin Cities last week, he gained like over 1.5 strokes just for the round with the putter. And that is what you love to see. Literally, he must be coming in knowing that the putter's warm. The rest of his game's immense. I think he hit 17 of 18 greens, like one of the two rounds last the weekend. Everything's just clicking into place. And of course, he knows that if he doesn't perform this week, he can put his feet up for a number of weeks and watch all this big money being doshed out.
Yeah.
Not huge motivating factor for a professional golfer, mate.
Yeah. All right. Look, you convinced me. I'm gonna back Cam Davis when Barry's talking in a second. Yeah. The guy I've backed just slightly higher than that is Eric Cole, 60-1.
Yeah.
You've talked about Eric. Talked about his minor tour wins. 56 I saw quoted yesterday. Minor tour wins over the years, so he can get over the line. And this is a strong event for those players looking for a breakthrough win on the PGA Tour. There's a long list of them in your preview. So it's proven in the past to be one of those that is a good stepping stone for players trying to find their first or their maiden PGA Tour win. He's made 7 cuts on the trot. He was 6th at the Canadian Open earlier in the year, 5th at the Mexico Open, 2nd at the Honda. Some strong stats for the season as well. 32nd for strokes gained approach, 16th for strokes gained putting, which I like. 27th for strokes gained total. I noticed that he's 4th in your strokes gained total tracker for the last 4 weeks. Oh, sorry, the last 8 weeks, isn't it?
So, yeah, don't make any. Doesn't miss cuts, does he?
No. It's he is very, very consistent. Can putt well. 5th for putting average for the season. 3rd for putts per round. 4th for 3 putt avoidance. 2nd for total birdies. He was 5th to Sunday at the Scottish Open, so played well over in Scotland as well. 4th to halfway at the Travellers. I think his headline form looks a little bit understated because the Sundays haven't been quite there. He's 30th last week. But I think he's playing a little bit better than that, all of that suggests. And he's the kind of player that if Eric Cole won this, you wouldn't be remotely surprised because you've seen him pop up and, you know, be prominent on leaderboards over the last.
And in majors, you know, he was prominent on major leaderboards. This guy he's landed, isn't he? There's no fear factor.
Yep. Indeed. Mm. Yeah. So I'm on Cole. Brendan Todd, as I said earlier, 90-1 I got yesterday. He was 26th here in 2013. He closed with a 64. He was 10th here in 2021. That's his best result. Twice a runner-up this season at Pebble, back in February at the John Deere Classic. Both of those are shortish courses. And I think, really, if you look at Brendan Todd and a fit for a certain type of course, it's going to be a shorter style where putting comes to the fore. 3rd for strokes gained putting at the John Deere Classic on that effort as well. Made the open cut the last time he played. He's won on Bermuda in the past. I think the price on offer, 90-1 yesterday, he's been nibbled in a bit, as you said. I think he's kind of 75-180-1, that kind of best price at the moment. But seems a decent each way punt to me, Brendan Todd. I'll give you my final one while I'm here and then I'll pass over to Barry. Lucas Glover I've backed at 90-1 as well. Now, plenty of people, me included, were on Glover last week. He was absolutely backed off the boards. He opened at 90s last week. He was 40 to 1 thereabouts by the time it started. And of course, he missed the cut because everyone, the world and his wife, were on Lucas Glover last week, and it just didn't happen.
He was practicing with Kevin Yu on those practice greens again before the event.
Something just didn't work. But, you know how this game works, don't you? Everyone ditches him the week after. Everyone just won't go near him in disgust. He's the same price, 90 to 1, and he goes and contends. And if you look at his previous form running up to that, 4th, 6th, 5th, so, you know, 3 consecutive top 6 finishes should pay out a nice, healthy each-way return. Should he do that again? It was 5th at the Sony Open. You mentioned the Sony Open link last year. And, you know, he couldn't putt at the time. He was 2nd here back, or 2nd into Sunday here back in 2010. He finished 7th overall. Again, that's a period of time where he couldn't putt. We've talked about his putting last week. We talked about his working with Brad Faxon. His putting is still sporadic, but when it's good, it is good. And even though he missed the cut last week, he was 4 under for his final 9 holes at the 3M Open. 112th in the FedEx Cup. He needs, by my calculations, a top 3 finish or better. Depends what other people do. Certainly a win would be enough. I think a solo 2nd would be enough. And potentially, depends how many ties or how the ties work, potentially a top 3 could be enough for him to get through to the TPC Southwind next week. So there's a big motivating factor for Lucas Glover to pull something out of the bag this week at 90 to 1. But I'm going to stick with him. Keep the faith. But that's me. I've got no one longer than that. What about you, Barry? You got some bombs in there?
That's kind of, I like that logic on Glover. So I'm going to go and jump on that as well because, yeah. When all the weight of the money is now off his shoulders.
Happens all the time. Yeah.
And just, Steve, while you guys were talking, just kind of comparing, if I wanted to do one bet between McCarthy and Poston, it just looks like Poston's the one to choose. If you have to...
We'll jump on Denny then.
I guess. Look, we'll see. And I'm going to, just for fun, because we've mentioned him probably more than anybody on this podcast, I'm going to back Kevin Yu again this week. I'm going to gamble on the fact that he's seen those stats. One of his mates has texted him and said, hey, listen, you need to sort this out. Then his group of mates have been in the group thread giving him absolute hell about how crappy he is at putting and that they're all better than him and they're all 18 handicappers. And he's going to go off and get motivated to figure it out. So with that sort of tee to green performance again last week, It'll put him in the right positions this week if he continues that. So see if he's gone and found some sort of putting magic.
We've got to try and find a course that we're all comfortable Kevin Yu's going to take a part in the fall. There's got to be something there where that tee to green game on a course where tee to green far, 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 far outweighs any kind of negative strokes game putting element and gets you close to the top of a leaderboard.
I mean, it was
he's going to ping big style Kevin Yu.
Like a traditional US Open. Like really difficult where par is your friend. He can just two putt his way around. Hit 75-80% greens in regulation, two putt them for pars.
Do you know the course that jumped into my mind? It was the Houston course that Finau won at the end of last year. Very tough course. And Paul and I looked at the full series events that, and they've taken it out and they put that into 2024. So they're not playing Houston in October or November. And that, I think that would be perfect for Kevin Yu, that course. Memorial Park. That's a kind of mini US Open. Very tough. But yeah, he's going to ping soon. And if he finds the putter, it could be this week. I'm looking at the European Ryder Cup points at the moment. And you must think, well, what the hell is Steve looking at that for? You know, bloody hell, the Wyndham Championship. McIlroy, Rahm, McIntyre. They head the European points. Hovland, Hatton, Fleetwood. They head the world points beneath Rahm and McIlroy. So those 6 are in the auto spots. I then run down. Fitzpatrick at 7. Sepp Straka at 8. Shane Lowry at 9. Justin Rose at 10. We've then got Adrian Meronk at 11. And the name that is 12th on the list. So you could say, theoretically, this guy is in the Ryder Cup Donald squad. Alex Noren. Now, Alex Noren. Noren. How do you pronounce it, chaps?
And Noren will do.
He's 109th. No, let me get this right. I don't think that is right. He's 100 and... where is he? He's 102nd in the FedEx Cup standings right now. 102nd. He's way out of it.
I don't get him as a pick. Doesn't make sense to me.
Luke Donald's on the property this week. He's playing. Now, Alex Noren, Alex Noren, to me, he's found a couple of top tens recently. I think he knows he's in the poo in terms of getting into that Ryder Cup spot. I mean, he's playing here with the likes of a Seamus Power, who's injured at the moment, Victor Perez, Thomas Dietrich, Aaron Rye, the Højgaard twins, you know, Yannick Paul. These are the kind of players that are sort of all swinging around thinking, I've still got a chance here of getting into the team. Noren's got a problem because if he doesn't make the top 70 in the playoffs, and I think he'd need to kind of win or finish second this week to get into the top 70, where's he going to play his golf? Is he going to go to the Czech Masters on the DP World Tour? Is he that committed?
Mm.
I could see him turning up at the Irish Open.
Yeah, Cranswick Sierra.
Better purse. So I think this is a big week for Alex Noren. I've got him at 90-1, 8 places each way with Bet365. No, I didn't. He was 90-1 when he was first priced up. I got him at 80-1, that's right, with Boyle Sports, 8 places each way. He would love to throw in a big result this week in front of Luke Donald. And 9th at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, 23rd at the Open, and 13th last week at the 3M Open. If there's one thing Alex Noren's doing well right now, he's actually hitting the ball straight, which he hasn't done for a long time, but he's actually putting very, very well. And I know it's Bermuda grass, and we always preach on this podcast that Alex is a bent grass and a bent Poana mixed greens kind of guy, because he is, I get that. But needs are must for Alex Noren this week, Alex Noren. And it was interesting last year. You rewind all the way back to November, Paul. The DP World Tour Championship, the very cream of the European Tour at the Earth Course, he finished second. So yeah. It's not as if he can't perform on Bermuda grass green.
No, no, absolutely. And they're very slick ones, you know, in terms of similarity, I guess, to the champion that's here.
So, yeah, that was my final pick. Alex Noren. So I've got Noren, Rye, Cam Davis, JT Poston, and Hideki Can't Putt Matsuyama. I think that's... Is that us, chaps? Is that us done?
Yeah, I've got no more.
Now, next week's podcast, because there is a podcast next week, I'm going to be on holiday. And it's the first podcast we've ever recorded outside of our normal... Well, for me anyway, hosting a podcast outside of my normal confines. So you might hear some seagulls. But there is a podcast next week. The week after, there isn't going to be a podcast. That will be the week of the BMW Championship. Because I will be overseas. I hope your bets go well, chaps.
Yeah, best of luck, boys.
I hope the listeners' bets go well on your DraftKings picks. Lots of interesting value plays on DraftKings. I reckon Eric Cole is going to be really popular on DK this week.
Pop. Yeah, makes a lot of
because,
cuts.
Like you said, what do we need here? Someone that can hit the ball close and putt well, and he ticks a lot of boxes. So, Hopefully, we get the winner this week.
Fingers crossed.
We'll be back again, of course, next week for the start of the PGA Tour playoffs. That is the FedEx St. Jude. We'll see you again then. If you like betting on golf,
got your back, misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system.